All right, it's a pleasure to welcome you to today's morning session, which is officially on quantum spin liquids. That's the official name given in the program. I should caution that only 1.5 of the 4 talks will be on quantum spin liquids, but that's the way it is. I have an explanation for that too. The official title, of course, everybody knows, the unofficial title is Intertwined Order. And I think the organizers of this conference took the title seriously, but not literally. The speakers took it both literally and seriously. All right. So in this meeting, in the corridors, there's a lot of discussion on exactly what the word intertwined may mean. And what it may not mean. There's probably not been enough discussion on the word order, and one of the purposes of this session is to expand our notion of what the word order means in quantum many-body physics. And quantum spin liquids describe a kind of order that's not described by the standard paradigm of broken symmetry, much like the fractional quantum Hall states and many other examples, the composite Fermi liquids and so on and so forth. Okay. So the most familiar form of magnetism in solids is ferromagnetism, which was allegedly discovered in 600 BC, at least according to Wikipedia. Antiferromagnetism, we know, is the more common form of magnetism. A lot of talks, of course, this meeting. And these are both examples of the paradigm of broken symmetry, very important in physics as a whole. Now, the comment that I like to make is that despite being much more common, antiferromagnetism was only discovered 2,600 years after ferromagnetism. So ferromagnetism, of course, easily detected, so humankind had the right probe right away. For antiferromagnets, the probes didn't appear till the 20th century. That's presumably the reason, right? So something not being found very readily with current probes doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay. So in a quantum mechanical description, the physical properties of the ferromagnet and antiferromagnet and other broken symmetry states, other states of quantum matter generally, are contained in their ground state, described by the ground state wave function. And a prototypical wave function for the ferromagnet or the antiferromagnet looks like this. And they capture the essence of the broken symmetry of the ground state, which then dictates many of their macroscopic properties. Now, a key feature of wave functions like that is that they are product wave functions over the states of the local degrees of freedom. And such product wave functions, we recognize, have zero quantum entanglement between the local degrees of freedom. Right? So the prototypical wave functions for the ferromagnet and antiferromagnet have zero entanglement between spins on different sites. Now, what this session is about, or at least what it was meant to be about, is this phase of matter known as a quantum spin liquid, which is qualitatively different. Okay? So we appreciate now, after decades of work, that the prototypical ground state wave function of a quantum spin liquid cannot be described as a direct product of that of local degrees of freedom. So the quantum entanglement in the ground state is long-ranged in space, and the theory of the state, as I'll describe very briefly, is well-developed, but this session, the 1.5 talks, will be on the possible discovery of a quantum spin liquid. Okay, so the rough description of what a quantum spin liquid is, probably familiar to most people in the room, was envisioned by Phil Anderson, and he described the ground state as a resonance between different valence bond configurations on the lattice. And in each valence bond configuration, each spin forms a singlet pair with some other spin on the lattice. Okay? So burning question that used to exist in the field a long time ago is whether such a state of matter could at all exist. And it's now known with complete confidence that theoretically, quantum spin liquids can exist. We understand their properties quite well. And the properties are quite dramatic. The electron or the spin can break up into fractions, and there are the fractional pieces of the electron interact with each other through long-range, emergent long-range interactions, which are described by gauge theory, and so on and so forth. So let me briefly make a few pertinent remarks on the theory. So one thing that we understand very well is that there's no such thing as the quantum spin liquid phase. There are an infinite varieties of quantum spin liquid phases. So in any given experiment is often asked the question, how do you detect the quantum spin liquid phase? So that question needs to be refined, because different kinds of these infinite varieties of quantum spin liquids will require different ways of detecting them. Okay? In fact, there's a lot of work going on in the theory community and is trying to classify all this infinite varieties of quantum spin liquids, which has reached some level of maturity by now. But of course, I won't talk about that. So one thing that's emerged from this theoretical understanding is a general description of the low energy theory of most quantum spin liquids. So there's a standard paradigm that's developed in the last 25 or 30 years or so, that the low energy theory of a quantum spin liquid is described not in terms of spins or magnons or things like that, but rather it's described in terms of an emergent deconfined gauge field, which is then coupled to emergent quasiparticles that couple as charges to the gauge field. And these infinite varieties of quantum spin liquids are determined by which kind of gauge field you have. Is it a Z2 gauge field, U1 gauge field, so on and so forth. The details of these matter fields, the charges that couple to the gauge field, their statistics, their dispersion, and things of that sort. Now, there's some exciting new development in the field where the standard paradigm, which developed over 3 decades, we now recognize as probably not the entire story, as a new class of states. And Liang Fu, I put his name up here because he could have talked about this. No, he didn't. Has written some nice papers on the subject. But Liang is around at this meeting, so if people are interested, they can catch him. Okay, so what about experiments? So the big development of the last 15 years is a tremendous effort by the experimental community to find materials that could be in spin liquid phases. And the earliest and perhaps one of the strongest set of candidates are in layered organic crystals, triangular lattice, 2D layered systems. And by now, there are 4 different organics which all seem to do the same thing, seem to be in some kind of spin liquid phase. Kagome Spinhoff magnets in this material series, in this material, heroic efforts of Young Li that we'll hear about. 10-year-old effort, and we'll hear the latest in Young's saga to reveal the true nature of the spin liquid. People ask about whether three-dimensional spin liquids exist, and there are some interesting indications. There's a hyperKagome iridate that Takagi-san described many years back. There are very few experiments on this system after the initial paper. And I believe he's not going to talk about that today. He has some exciting recent material that's different that he's going to talk about. And these so-called quantum spinized systems in 3 dimensions and pyrochlore lattices. And again, somewhere in the space of this, the belief is that somewhere in the space of this class of materials, there will probably soon be a spin liquid. I don't know about soon, there'll probably be a spin liquid. And Lucille, I put her name up here as a major contributor to this field, but she's not going to talk about this. Okay. So the final candidate that I'll talk about, there's many, many other candidates, but it's one that came up, was motivated by this beautiful exact solution by Kitaev of a Spinhoff honeycomb model showing a spin liquid. And there's a class of materials that go under the name of Kitaev materials. But really, the physics was described by Jakeli and Kalyulin, starting with these 213 iridates, such as these, which have edge-sharing iridium oxygen 6 octahedra. And this edge-sharing structure leads to a Hamiltonian that they argue is, will have as its biggest term precisely the model that Kitaev solved exactly. And there's also this material, alpha ruthenium chloride, which has been getting a lot of attention recently. But we'll hear about this very new member in Takagi's talk, H3LiIR206, which, unlike these others, doesn't seem to be magnetically ordered and shows very, very interesting NMR and heat capacity behavior. So let me stop here, but just to give some perspective, let me finish by saying that just like to reveal antiferromagnetism, we needed to ask the material new questions that we won't ask of a ferromagnet. Likewise, to reveal spin liquids, we probably have to ask the material new questions that we won't ask of an antiferromagnet. Okay? So with that, let's move on to something other than spin liquids.